This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. On one level, the looming battle in the U.S. Senate is over obscure rules and parliamentary procedures, but it's also about the constitutional separation of powers and the culture war over the judiciary, about presidential ambitions and the future of the United States Supreme Court. In just a moment, Democrat Patrick Leahy of Vermont joins us, later Republican John Cornyn of Texas. If you have questions about what's happening in the Senate and why, about the principles and what's at stake, give us a phone call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Later in the program, we'll join an expedition at the North Pole that hopes to settle the long-running argument over who got there first. But now, the nuclear option in the U.S. Senate. Very briefly, a little background. During President Bush's first term, Senate Democrats blocked 10 of 214 nominations to the federal courts with a parliamentary procedure called the filibuster. Under Senate rules, it takes a three-fifths majority, 60 votes, to cut off a filibuster. Now, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist is considering another parliamentary device to get around that. He would ask the President of the Senate, Vice President Dick Cheney, to rule that filibusters of judicial nominees are not constitutional. It's not yet clear that Senator Frist has the 51 votes he'd need to sustain that ruling. We don't know when this might happen, or even if there's still talk of a possible compromise. We don't know exactly what Democrats would do in response, and we have to consider this dispute in the context of the Supreme Court. Chief Justice William Rehnquist is widely expected to retire later this year. And we begin with the ranking Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Patrick Leahy of Vermont. He joins us from Capitol Hill. Senator, nice to talk to you.
Good to be with you.
What is this really about, this argument?
Well, I think the basic argument, at least as I see it, is that they want to do away with all kinds of checks and balances. You know, the Senate has historically been the place where you have to reach compromise, partly because of the filibuster rule. If people know they have to reach a 60-vote margin on an issue, and that comes up all the time, then both Republicans and Democrats have to seek a compromise. Usually the extremes of either party have to move to the more to the middle, and the American people are better off. But we've seen what's happened recently. There's been this idea that if you control the Congress, you should be able to set total agenda with no checks and balances. We saw it in the House of Representatives, where until the public pressure became so heavy, they changed the rules of the Ethics Committee to protect Tom DeLay. Well, here what they're trying to do is say, we don't care how bad a judge is. We don't care if they're an ideologue or have a problem. If we say we want them, we're Republicans, we should have them. This has never been the case before. Even George Washington had judges turned down. Now, President Bush has had about 95% of the people he's nominated have gone through with Democratic votes. It's a darn good record. And here, though, when there are some that are extreme, the only way you do have a check and balance is the filibuster. You talked about Vice President Cheney ruling that filibuster here would be unconstitutional. Well, he would have to go against the ruling of the nonpartisan parliamentarian of the Senate, against the nonpartisan Congressional Research Service. And basically, they have to say, we don't care what rules have been for over 200 years. We're going to change them for us because we're Republicans and somehow we've got a divine right of kings or something.
Well, you talk about checks and balances. I bow to your knowledge of the Constitution, but my reading has always been checks and balances. Well, the legislative and judicial branches balance the power of the executive and all those branches of government are checks and balances against each other. Within the rules of the U.S. Senate, you guys decide what the rules are.
Well, we decide what the rules are, and one of the rules that we have is that you can't change the rules without a 67-vote margin. But they're saying, we don't care what that is. We're just going to say, we got more of us here. We're going to change it by 51 votes. To do that, they basically have to violate the rules. And you know, and the whole thing is, it's an exercise in power so that they can set their own agenda with no check and balance. And the irony is, these are the same people who did a pocket filibuster of over 60 of President Clinton's judges, over 200 of his executive nominees, whom they didn't allow to get a vote at all, not because we needed a 60-vote margin. We would have had to have 100 vote out of the 100, because if one or two Republicans objected to him, they were just never allowed to have a vote. And Bill Frist, back 5 years ago, when there was a Democratic nominee that actually did get out of committee and we had to break a filibuster, Senator Frist was not running for president then, he voted for the filibuster. He voted to filibuster the judge. Now, of course, when he's running for president, he says, well, there's no right to filibuster a judge. It's very interesting because, of course, a lot of judges have been filibustered over the years. A lot of executives' positions have been filibustered by both Democrats and Republicans.
We want to give listeners an opportunity to ask you their questions about this. If you'd like to join us, by the way, it's 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is totn@npr.org. Right now we're speaking with Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont, a Democrat. Later in the program, Republican John Cornyn of Texas will join us. But let's go now to Nancy, and Nancy is calling from Ithaca, New York.
Hello.
Hi, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for getting me on.
Sure.
I've been following this very closely online, on the radio, and on television. What is missing for me in this conversation and debate is the specifics of why each nominee is being blocked by the Democrats. It hasn't been made clear why they don't want Priscilla Owen, et cetera. So if you could answer that question, I would really appreciate it. And also my other question, if you could also fit this one in, is why... when they keep saying that this filibuster has never been used in 214 years, why people don't just say stop them and say, that's a lie. Why are you lying about that? Because there is historical precedent that this has been used before, and Senator Biden was on this morning talking about that. So I would like to take my answer off the air.
Nancy, thanks for the phone call. Senator Leahy, just to say, Priscilla Owen is one of the judges who was voted out by the Senate Judiciary Committee, I think it was last week, on a party line vote.
She had actually been voted down once before. This is the first time in history that a nominee, having been voted down once, came back again. She was referred to by Alberto Gonzalez, the now Attorney General, as being too extreme and out of the mainstream when she was on the Texas Supreme Court. Her positions have always been, no matter what, seems to be the thing she will have to find for the four corporations, four of the most powerful, in cases where even the conservative Supreme Court went the other way. She seemed to be an activist, with a gender-driven activist, the sort of person that the president said that he did not want. In this case, that's the way she's been. I think that I don't mind Republican nominees for the judiciary. I voted for hundreds upon hundreds of them in the years I've been here when there's been a Republican president. But I don't want somebody who's going to make a federal court an arm of either the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. And when you have an ideologically driven nominee, in this case, Patricia Owens, that's exactly what they're trying to do.
Is this fight so much about Priscilla Owens and the other judges who've been nominated, or is it about what's expected to be a vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court?
Now, these questions came up long before there's any question of vacancy in the Supreme Court. We have people should not forget this, Democrats have helped to put through 205 of President Bush's judges. We've held back between 7 and 10. I mean, he's had 95% of those that he's gone through. In fact, we have one that's going on the floor right now. I came directly from the floor. I was urging the Senate to vote for a nominee of President Bush's, of Michael Seabright from Hawaii. He's been sitting on the calendar for a long time. The Republicans themselves wouldn't bring him up for a vote. I urged him to bring him up for a vote, and I'm looking at the floor of the Senate right now. He's probably going to be confirmed unanimously. On the question of, on the question of the a Supreme Court nominee, there, let's take the Supreme Court nominee when the Supreme Court nominee comes. Remember that people are supposed, by the Constitution, are supposed to be appointed with the advice and consent of the Senate. Now, the president makes the final choice of who he's going to nominate. But when they've done it and used the advice and consent, they've always gone through. President Clinton got two of his justices through, but he talked with the Republicans first, and they said, well, look at these other people you're thinking of. Don't send them up. It's going to be a problem. He didn't. As a result, his went through heavily, just like Sandra Day O'Connor, when President Reagan wanted her, there was consultation with Democrats and Republicans. I think she went through unanimously or virtually unanimously. There are a whole lot of Republican jurors who would fall on the conservative line that the president could nominate, and I'd be willing to bet they'd get between 90 and 100 votes in the United States Senate.
Let's see if we can get another caller in quickly before the break. David. David's calling from Saranac Lake, New York.
Yes, Senator Leahy, I'm someone who is a Democrat, and I was going to add, could you comment on Senator Dodd's comments over the weekend about what happens if the political fortunes, the next couple of congressional elections, for example, reverse? As a Democrat, I don't think the Democratic Party should dominate the Republican Party either. I think this is an internal way of controlling the excesses of power through temporary passions, just changing things dramatically. I was wondering what you had to say about that, Senator.
Well, I agree with you, and maybe that's because Saranac Lake is so close to Vermont. But I think that you have to have the checks and balances. And I've been here 31 years. I've been here a number of times when the Democrats were in the majority, a number of times the Republicans were in the majority. Because you've had the threat of the filibuster, which is not used that often, because it's been there, both parties have had to try to work things out. Doesn't always work, of course. Nothing does in politics. But in most cases, you could work things out. If you want to have it where there's no ability to compromise, the country suffers.
David, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
We'll take more of your calls on this question when we return from a break. 800-989-8255, or send us an email, TOTN@NPR.org. We'll be back with Senator Leahy. John Cornyn of Texas joins us later. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking with Senator Patrick Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont, about the ramifications of killing the filibuster for judicial nominees. It's the so-called nuclear option in the U.S. Senate. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by Republican Senator John Cornyn, who supports ending the filibuster. If you have a question for Senator Leahy now or Senator Cornyn later, join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN@NPR.org. And let's get another caller on the line, and Eddie joins us from Hickory, North Carolina.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to ask Senator Leahy, why will the Democrats just not have the fortitude to come out and admit that the reason they oppose these judges is that they are not pro-abortion, and that the special interest groups that control the Democratic Party simply will not allow them to allow a vote on any judge that is not pro-abortion? And it all seems to boil down to that. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for the call, Eddie.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. That would assume that the 205 federal judges of President Bush's that the Democrats have voted for were all pro-abortion. I cannot believe that 96% of the judges that George W. Bush has nominated, that they were pro-abortion. The facts belie the question. I would assume that most of the people that that the president nominated were anti-choice, do not favor abortion by any means, and they were all confirmed by Democrats and Republicans. You know, you just can't say these five are the only people that George Bush put in that were anti-abortion. Are you going to say that the 205 that George Bush put in, contrary to everything he said all over the country, were pro-abortion? Come on, the numbers don't add up.
Senator Leahy, is compromise still possible? We've been hearing suggestions over the past couple of days. Well, we'll put these two through if you take those two out, suggestions like that. Is this still going to, is it possible to compromise yet?
course, you know, again, I've been here 31 years, and what we do is to work these things out because of the filibuster. But Senator Reid, the Democratic leader of the Senate, made a very good offer, I thought, of compromise. An awful lot of Republicans have told me privately they think it's a great offer. But Senator Frist has been told by, I guess, by the special interest groups on his side, he can't accept any offer. You know, I worry that this has got into a whole lot of other things. When you have somebody go and go to religious groups and basically say that those who vote against any of President Bush's judges are not people of faith, or that they're anti-Christian or anti-Catholic or whatever, you know, this makes no sense at all. There is no religious test in America. The Constitution forbids a religious test to hold public office, but I think that there are some who want to claim there is. They're raising a lot of money saying that, because part of a presidential campaign 3.5 years before the election, and I think that's a mistake, because there are a whole lot of Republicans and a whole lot of Democrats who would like very much to work out the compromise that Senator Reid, the Democratic leader, proposed, but not those who are running for president.
What will happen if this does go ahead, if Senator Frist does invoke this, if he does have the votes to sustain it, and the filibuster for judicial nominees is ended?
Well, I'm not sure he has the votes, and I think it would be, I mean, you'd have to violate the rules of the Senate to rule that way. You'd have to ignore over 200 years of rules and tradition. But if that was done, the fact that one reaction of the Democrats would be, okay, you want to just go strictly by your rules, we'll follow that, and very little will get done. I'd hate to see that happen, and that's why Senator Reid has made a very, very favorable, a very positive suggestion at getting things through.
Very little would
get. I mean, after all, Democrats have already proven they'll vote in support. 205 of the judicial nominations, and right now the clerk is close to calling the conclusion of a vote on the Senate floor where every single Democrat who voted for the president's nominee.
You say very little would get done. Is this effectively a threat to close down the business of the United States Senate?
No, it's not a threat, but it's a case where Democrats are going to say, fine, we've tried to work with you, we've tried to compromise, tried to help you bring up your agenda. If you want to have it all your way, then we'll take the attitude. We'll move forward in Senate business only if it's our agenda. I don't want to see that, but if we did that, it'd be very difficult for either side to get anything done.
So, in other words, if the president proposed a piece of legislation on a highway bill, for example, that would be off the board? Democrats would hold it up procedurally?
If it had matters in there Democrats wanted, it'd go forward. But, you know, the thing is, I'm not going to suggest which ones do or do not go. For example, we would not hold up something that would affect the national security of our country. But look at you spend enough time following the Senate, mm-hmm. You know that 90% of the nominations go through on voice votes. What would it be like if a dozen or so on the calendar, we said, look, these are all wonderful people. The American people should have a chance to hear how wonderful they are. Let's talk about each one of them for a few hours, then we'll all vote for them.
Senator Leahy, thank you very much for being with us today.
Good to be with you.
Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, who joined us from a studio on Capitol Hill. Well, with us now, also from Capitol Hill, is Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, also a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And Senator Cornyn, nice to talk to you again as well.
Thank you, Neil. Good to be with you.
The Constitution does say in Article 2, the president shall nominate judges with the advice and consent of the Senate. Doesn't Senator Leahy have a point when he says he's just fulfilling his duty as a senator to give these people close examination?
Well, no one's questioning the duty of the Senate to ask hard questions and to investigate these nominees and to debate them, but 4 years ought to be enough time to have that debate and finally to have an up or down vote. That's how long that some of the president's nominees, including Justice Priscilla Owen of Texas, has been waiting or that up or down vote.
Well, as Senator Leahy also pointed out, I think 205 of President Bush's nominees have gone through, 10 have been blocked.
Well, that's true. But for 214 years in the United States Senate, judicial nominees who came to the floor with bipartisan majority support got an up or down vote. That was true for every president from President Clinton on back to the beginning, and it's only been in the last 4 years that the rules have been changed to require 60 votes rather than 51 votes before someone could actually be confirmed. So we're just asking for restoration of what has been the Senate rule and Senate tradition for more than 200 years.
I don't want to get too involved in a debate over the rules of the Senate, where, of course, you have me at a disadvantage. But during President Clinton's term, Republicans, when they held the majority on the Senate Judiciary Committee, declined to bring up many of his nominees, even for a vote in the committee. Not quite the same as the filibuster. The effect, though, was the same.
Well, of course, that is different because it happened at the committee level. And, you know, we have, not to get too much detail, as you say, Neil, there is a blue slip policy that the chairman of the Judiciary Committee can honor if home state senators decide not to allow or to ask the chairman not to have that nomination brought up. But this is different. This, of course, involves circuit court nominees. There's a level right below the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that what this is leading up to is the next vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court. And there's never been in the history of the United States Senate a filibuster of a circuit or Supreme Court nominee where a majority of the Senate stood ready to confirm them if simply given the opportunity. I'm sure there are things that people can point to in the past, on both sides of the aisle, that aren't good about this process. It's just escalated over the years. But we simply need a fresh start, and I think a return to majority rule would be a good step in that direction.
Well, let's get more listeners in on the conversation. Joining us now is Anna, who's calling in from the road in Pennsylvania.
Yes, Senator Cornyn, I have to tell you that I am a registered Republican. I've been a Republican for 35 of my 62 years, and I am ashamed that you could stand on the floor of the Senate and say that it is appropriate to threaten members of the court who do not rule in your favor. I further would like to say that the reason a filibuster exists is so that the loyal opposition in a country like ours, which is a bipartisan country, can have debate and can have their voice heard and a compromise can be met. Unless you want to see a one-party system in this country, you better find a way to work bipartisanly in our democracy.
Well, Neil, all I would say is certainly the caller's entitled to their view, but I wish the facts, she were more correct about the facts. First of all, she's wrong about any statement that condoned or suggested that it was appropriate to commit violent acts against judges. As she may not know, I was a judge myself for 13 years, and I would never condone that and have said so repeatedly. But as far as the filibuster on judges, this is not a matter of protecting minority rights. This is a matter of allowing majorities to govern. In the last election, November the 2nd, President Bush won re-election, and the Senate, as has been understood for more than 200 years, has a duty to investigate his nominees, to debate them, but then ultimately to vote on them one way or another, to vote them up or vote them down. And certainly that's up to an individual senator's conscience. But to merely obstruct and to not allow that up or down vote when they enjoy bipartisan majority support is a radical departure from tradition and is simply contrary to the Constitution.
In terms of attacks on judges, this is the quote as I have it. I wonder, said Senator Cornyn, I wonder whether there may be some connection between the perception in some quarters on some occasions where judges are making political decisions yet are unaccountable to the public, that it builds up and builds up to the point where some people engage in violence, certainly without any justification, but that is a concern that I have wanted to share.
Well, I appreciate your reading the part where I said certainly without any justification. That was a speech that about a 30-minute speech, and I guess I certainly regret any misunderstanding. I've clarified that on the floor of the Senate. But my point is that there is frustration about judges who usurp the role of our elected representatives and make policy from the bench. The long 30-minute speech out of which you've excerpted two sentences or so tried to make that point, and I regret that that point was lost because I think it's an important one.
We're talking with Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, about what may be a looming fight in the U.S. Senate over judicial nominations, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Senator Cornyn, I did want to ask you, is compromise possible at this point? Again, this is the suggestion by, I think, Senator Reid. Maybe we can get these two. Is some compromise possible?
Well, I would hope so, Neil. One area I think of that would be fruitful in terms of potential compromise was a bill that was offered last Congress that would, this was a bipartisan bill. It was Zell Miller from the Senate, Senator Frist, that would have the 60-vote requirement, but then after a certain number of hours went by, that there would be an incremental decrease in the number of votes required to ultimately have cloture and have that up or down vote, which would allow for lengthy and serious debate, but would ultimately get us to the point where we'd have an up or down vote. As I understand that, the Democratic leader has rejected that and insisted instead on us choosing some of the judges and throwing the rest overboard, so to speak, and then not making any promise in terms of future Supreme Court vacancies. And I don't see that as a basis for compromise.
So all or none?
Well, what we were asking for is a restoration of 200 years of Senate tradition and the constitutional role of advice and consent. And we will insist that the Constitution be respected in that connection.
Let's bring another caller in on the line. This is Arlene. Arlene's with us from San Diego.
Thank you. Senator Cornyn.
Cornyn, yes.
Cornyn, I'm sorry. My concern is that here you're attempting to eliminate the filibuster on only the question of judgeships, federal judgeships, which are appointments for life. Not any other legislation which could be changed, presumably. Mm-hmm. Judgeships for life are not subject to review of the courts as to their constitutionality. And this kind of reasoning is the sort of thing that my 40-something children would say, what's with this? You know, why this? And we all know why. It's because the Republicans are pandering to the fringe that got them in office. Not the majority, but that fringe group of ultra-conservative people who got them into office.
Well, let's give the senator a chance to respond.
Respond to that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you would accuse the Senate during President Clinton's administration or Carter or any other Democratic president's administration of being captive of fringe groups when the Senate exercised the majority rule requirement that we're talking about restoring. And I understand that some people try to scare other people by suggesting that the United States Senate is captive of fringe groups here or there. It's just not true. We all represent a large state, in Senator Leahy's case, a relatively small state. But my 23 million constituents wouldn't stand for me representing a small constituency in the Senate, and in fact, I would refuse to do it and do refuse to do it. So this is really, I think, when people learn more about what is going on and realize that, yes, we do have a duty to ask tough questions and to conduct that searching investigation into the background and history of these nominees, but ultimately, the good men and women who are nominated do deserve at least an up or down vote. Nominees who a senator feels like in good conscience they cannot support, then they should vote against them, and I trust they will. But this is simply about thwarting the abilities of majorities to govern, whether there's a Democrat in the White House or a Republican.
John Cornyn, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Neil.
Senator John Cornyn, a Texas Republican, a member of the Senate Judiciary, joined us by phone from his office on Capitol Hill. There are detailed arguments for and against judicial filibusters on NPR's opinion page, Taking Issue, at npr.org. Coming up after the break, a team of explorers gets to the North Pole in record time and possibly vindicates the claims of Admiral Peary to be the first to have reached the North Pole almost 100 years ago. Back after the break, I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.